Corinthians chapter 9. I need your prayers, and we're going to pray right now. If you've come here to receive anything from this boy right here, Blake, if you've come to get something from me, you're not going to get it. You're going to leave the same way you came. But if you've come seeking, amen, something from the Lord, you'll leave with it, I promise you, because he's faithful and just. If you would stand with me. But we're going to begin reading 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul telling the Corinthians, he said, I got a few things you need to know. Verse 24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Ye may obtain. Amen. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do this for an incorruptible.
Amen.
I therefore so run. I got it underlined in my Bible. Not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. By the way, this is not a shadow boxing event. This is not a, you don't get a second chance at this.
Amen.
This is not a dry run, amen. I'm telling you, the way we die is the way we're going to spend eternity.
Amen.
Better make sure this thing counts.
Amen.
God's called you. He said, so I therefore so run not as uncertain. He said, I'm certain about what I'm talking about. So I fight. I not as one that just beateth the air. But I keep under my body, our text verse. I keep under my body and I bring it in subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Castaway. Well, it's a castaway. It's exactly what it says it is. It's something that you cast away. It's something that's no good. It's trash. It's junk. Pray with me. Father, I love you. God, I can't do a thing up here. I know that, Lord. God, I've been in this long enough to know, God, if anything's done here, it won't be because of me. I just ask you to please, God, help me, use me in the way you'd be pleased with, Lord. There just might be somebody here that's lost. God, to be saved, that'd be an awesome thing happen here tonight, God. But for the church to be revived, God, maybe there's a soul here, someone, God, that needs to be restored. They're in trouble, God, and they just need that boost out of heaven tonight. God, I pray that you'd use me for your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Use us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I'm sure about this.
Come on.
I'm sure. There's a lot of things in my life I'm not sure about. But I'm sure about this. I'm sure about this book. A lot of things I'm not satisfied in my life. I'm not satisfied with the husband that I've been to my wife. I'm not satisfied with the daddy I've been to my children. I'm not satisfied surely with the pastor God's called me to be. I'll tell you what I am satisfied with, though. I'm satisfied with him.
Amen.
I'm satisfied with everything that he's ever done in my life.
Amen.
I'm certain of this. And it says, that's why I'm fighting. I'm not just one who's beating. I'm not shadow boxing, amen. This is a real enemy out here. And I'll tell you, this scripture right here, I got to keep my body under subjection. This stuff we're riding around in, this stuff right here we're riding around in, amen, if we don't keep this under subjection, if we don't hold it down and put some reins on it, he's telling you right here, I'm going to become a castaway.
Amen.
If I don't keep it under control. And that's where I want to go this evening. You pray for me. You pray for me. Going to be different. Going to be different than anything you've ever. I want you to remember, we got to do this pretend thing, okay, for a little while. We got to play like, you remember we said, let's play like. Let's play like we're cowboys and Indians. Let's play like. I want you to go with me and I want you to remember something. The first car that you ever owned, the first vehicle that was yours, that you, whether it was a hand-me-down, daddy gave it to you, whatever it was, that first vehicle that you got, I can tell you what I did. As bad as it might have looked, other people might have looked down or whatever. That was mine, man, and I started taking care of it. I started polishing it, waxing it, man, making sure the rims were clean, vacuuming it on the inside. What I'm trying to tell you is I took care of it. I maintained it, and that's what this verse is talking about. I want you to remember that first car, though. I want you to remember. Right now, get it in your mind. You can do that. Let's play like. Let's pretend, amen. Say, preacher, there ain't nowhere to pretend, amen. A lot of folks pretend in church every time they show up.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, that's what's wrong with our kids today. Kids see mom and daddy, grandma and granddaddy and aunt and uncle play in church all their life. When it comes their time to decide whether they want to play or not, they're not going to play. They don't want to play anymore. I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me in this old car right here. The first one that you ever had. How you cared for it. How you kept it up. I wrote some things on it. I cleaned it. I waxed it. I vacuumed it up. Baby oil. Look, we couldn't afford no stinking Armor All, okay? We'd take baby oil on Sundays. Yeah, man. Is anybody else in here old enough to know what I'm talking about? Did you do it? We took baby oil and put it all over the tires. Nothing shines like baby oil on rubber, I'm telling you right now. That's just the only bad thing about that. About two trips around the block, you had to stop and do it again. Because rocks and grass and dust and everything. I took care of it. I tried my best to make it look and run and be the best that it could. It's now on me. I tell you what I didn't do when it was finally mine. I didn't go out and burn the tires off of it, because guess who was responsible for them? We do that when mom and daddy's paying the bills. But I did. I tried to maintain it to the best of my ability. I did. I'll be honest with you here. But some time passes. It's about like buying a new car. Some time passes, amen, and we get to where we don't even wash it now, maybe once a month. Until we can't decide what color it is anymore, we might wash it. When the trash gets up, even with the back seat, we'll clean it out.
Amen.
I need you to stay with me now. I need you to remember the day you got saved. I'll never forget it, because I've never been the same since.
Amen.
I'm not what I'm going to be, thank God, but I sure ain't what I used to be. I want you to remember the day you got saved and how happy you were. The zeal, the excitement. Look, I was on a bread route for about 28 years with Marita. And we had poker every Tuesday night at my house, because the bread men on Wednesday, we were not off. We'd still have to go into Myrtle Beach and make our pull-ups. But we'd have poker night at my house every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night. All of us would gather there, amen, and hot wings and beer and just, and I'd have my son on my knee. I look back on it, and I'm ashamed of those things.
Amen.
But I'd had a little fella on my knee, amen, it didn't bother me a bit. The day I got saved, I called them old boys. I said, listen, we won't be having poker at my house on Tuesday night. They said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Somebody sick? I said, no. I said, I got saved this morning at church. I got saved this morning at church. I said, y'all might have a poker game, but it won't be at my house. They had a poker game the next Tuesday night, guys. This was in 1995. They had a poker game the next Tuesday night. It weren't at my house. I heard the next week, Eric Shelley told me, a good friend of mine, he said, Don, he said, we took bets around the table on how long you'd stay in church. Said one said he'd stay in 2 days. Some said 2 weeks. Some said 6 months. One even gave me a year. I got news. I got good news to tell you, amen. And they made wagers on it. Listen to me. It's 2024. Ain't nobody collected any money yet. Hallelujah. He's able. Do you remember when you first got saved? I wanted to go to prayer meetings. I wanted to go to Bible studies. Amen. Who got vacation Bible school? Are you kidding me? There's something for everybody to do. You remember when you were excited about it?
Yeah.
When you first got saved? That's where I need you to go with me, okay? I'm going somewhere. I need you to go with me on this. I want you to remember when you first got saved. But just like that car, time passes. Church hurts. Boy, they awful, ain't they? They are. We get hurt in church, amen. We're going to leave. Beat you down on the job. Beat you down at school, amen. And we'll get over it and get back in. But not church, buddy. Not church. But something happens. We get offended or whatever, amen. And spiritually we start to fade. Just like that car did. Just like the car. We stop maintaining this thing we're riding around in. Need you to pray for me. When I fail to maintain this vehicle, amen, I'm going to become a castaway or junk. No good for anything. No good for kingdom works, what this means. Paul's saying he's not saying you're on your way to hell. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that you're lost and on your way. He said, what it is, you're going to become useless to the kingdom. I've known folks like that. I'd never call a name, amen, but I'm talking about someone that I looked up to, that I loved teaching, amen, and he fell, and I almost fell slap out of church, son. Because I was watching somebody. I was watching man.
Yeah.
You need to stay excited. You need to maintain your vehicles, what I'm telling you. Pray for it. How does it go? How do we get there? What takes us there? I need you to go with me now. I got to get this started.
Come on.
This card that I'm going to tell you about is a piece of junk. Say, well, what is it, preacher? I'm glad you asked. It's a 1978 four-door Ford LTD. Yes, yes. Manure brown. It got a vinyl top on it, and it's darker than the car is. Yeah. Guess whose car this was? This is my grandma's car. When my grandma got tired of this car, guess who got the car? My mama. Guess who carried her boys to school? What she carried them in? This car. I hate this car. If I had a top 10 list, it would be number one. I'm telling you, I hated this car. This is the car I want you to see. But I want you to take it a little farther just as I have. It's right up here. You're probably going to have this here. You can do it all over. This car is right here. You can't see this. You're going to miss the whole sermon.
That's it.
This car is sitting right here. I want you to notice it. One of the doors is missing. This light up here is busted out. That headlight's hanging out. The bumper on the back end is rusted off and it's hanging down the ground. It's chickens. Hens laying eggs in the back seat. I'm talking. You call out. Somebody's got cars in the yard right there. The front seat, you got dogs. Amen. All the windows busted out. The kids been playing on it, running, jumping on the top of it. Trunk's open. And you see the car trying to take it.
Bless him.
There's rust everywhere. There's rust all over. If you can't see it, you need to move up. I need you to see this car. How did it get in this condition?
Bless him, God.
How did it get to...
Come on, preacher.
How did it get to looking like this?
Come on, preacher.
Somebody loved this thing enough at one time, they bought it new. I don't know who that was. You haven't seen this thing, even knew I can't imagine. You have to get you.
Come on.
But I'm telling you, I need you to see it. What happened? How did it end up here? From the locker, the showroom floor, how did it end up this piece of junk?
Come on.
I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you how. Because somebody didn't maintain it.
Amen.
It was not maintained.
Amen.
Plain and simple. This is going to be earth-shattering message. You know every bit of this. Amen. You know what preaching is? It's just reminding.
Amen.
It's just reminding.
Amen.
I love how folks say, well, I know that story. I know this and I know that. Now, well, bless God, why don't we live it? Why don't we live it? If we know these things, why don't we live it? If everybody in the church is praying, amen, about certain subjects, why are we still dealing with them? Somebody's telling a not so, amen.
Go ahead.
How did this car get into this shape? What happened to it from being brand new to this? This is you and this is me. Something caused us to get here. I believe maybe number one. I believe maybe number one, one of the first things that ever happened, amen, is your light went out.
Come on.
Your light went out. Something that simple. Why don't you listen? My little brother, you'd have to know him. Some of you know David. I'm talking about Darren. He's crazy as a bedbug. I'm telling you, he's a lot better than he used to be, but he had to be in the center of controversy and everything. I'm just being honest with you. He pastored a church down in Saco State. I was just telling Brother Jimmy, he would go out to the church sign and put on the church sign, God made Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And immediately he would go to the phone and call the newspaper and he'd call the TV. He said, have you seen what that crazy preacher down in Saco State's got on the church sign? And he'd stand out by the sign waiting on him to get there.
Amen.
He was on his way to revival one night. Had a little car called a Geo Metro. He called it his preacher mobile. Boy, that thing was awful. I'm talking about that big. I had a tracker, but it was a little car. Somebody had give it to him, Geo Metro, and he called it his preacher mobile. Well, he was going to preach a revival. And he didn't know where the church was. His deacon did, amen. They're from Saco State. So he got in behind the deacon before GPS. He had on his phone, and he followed his deacon. Well, about 5 or 6 miles down the road, and what happened? The deacon hit a patch of rocks in the road and kicked up a rock and busted one of his headlights. Anybody ever had a deacon to bust your headlight out? Deacons, you ever had a congregation to bust your light out?
Go ahead.
Little brother went on to preach the revival, amen, went on back home, said it was a wonderful revival. About 3 months later, amen, he's going to another church to preach on a Sunday night, and he's on his way there. He said, I was preaching my message. Us preachers, you know what I'm saying. And teachers, you know, I preach the message 2 or 3 times, amen, before I get to church.
Amen.
I do. Amen. My little brother said one time, he said, I'm telling you, sometimes it gets so good, I want to pull over and take up a love offering. He was following, amen, someone else. All of a sudden behind him, he sees a blue light. Cop pulls him over and comes up to the window, and he says, "You know why I'm pulling you?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "I know I wasn't speeding." He said, "You weren't." He said, "You weren't." He said, "But you got a headlight that's out up front." He says, Oh, yeah, that headlight. And the policeman looked down at him and said, "So you know about the headlight? You know the headlight's been out." And said, Darren said, "I was at a moment here in my life that on this," he said, "I saw on cartoons where the devil was on this shoulder and the angel was on this shoulder." He said, "I'm on my way to revival, amen, to try to get, see if we get the church revived, somebody get saved." He said, "And all of a sudden the devil said, tell him it just happened yesterday or the day before and get out of this." And God said, you better speak the truth.
Amen.
Darren told him, he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "About 3 months ago." He said, "Yes, sir, it got knocked out about 3 months ago." And the policeman said, "So you've known this for 3 months?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'll be right back." He went back and came back to my little brother, and guess what he gave him? Gave him a ticket. He said, "You're going to give me a ticket?" He said, "You knew your light was out. We can sit here and laugh about this story all we want to. You know your light's out. You know who you are, preacher. You know who you are, and you know your light's just about, if it's not completely out already, you know your light's about to go out. How long? How long are you going to continue to run around with it like that?
Go ahead.
How long?"
Amen.
I believe one of the first things he ended up looking like this right here is your light goes out. You got scripture, amen. Well, shit, Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Your light goes out. That's one of the first things toward becoming a castaway. Useless to the kingdom. Useless to the kingdom. Paul's very clear, amen. You remember when you first got saved, you're running around with the high beams on all the time? As I get older, I'm sorry. All you older folks, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. All those years I stood at the back door and folks said, "I can't come to church, amen. Times change and I can't see how to drive." And I'm sorry I said that to you. I'm sorry I didn't take compassion on. I understand that now. Brother Jimmy said, "We're having a debate right now who's going to drive home." He just had some surgery. But I understand that now. I really do. And it seems like everybody's lights are on bright all the time. These fellas with these big trucks, and have to ask y'all, you better dim them lights. Can't hardly see. But do you remember when you first got saved? Everywhere you went around with your high beams on. You wanted people to know you were saved.
Amen.
You wanted people to see your light.
Amen.
Used to say amen in churches. I appreciate this church. I said, I'm telling you right now, it's been so long since I've been in this church, a vocal church. I said, this crowd's going to preach me to death before I leave. I appreciate you. But you remember, amen, when you used to say amen? Somebody used to say hallelujah, raise your hand, and now you can't even get a holy grunt out of people. I got to move, amen. I got to move. I just want to, you know, these things didn't happen overnight. You don't fall out of love overnight either.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says, you don't fall. One of the first things that'll happen to us, amen, is that your light goes out. And my question before I go to this next point, how long do you intend on letting your light stay out? You know it's out or on the verge of it. What you going to do about it?
Wow.
Second thing that I got wrote down here. What's the second step, preacher, to being like this when you got to be pumped, primed, and paid?
Preach.
I can preach this in this church, amen, because I know what he preaches.
Preach.
I know he preaches. And he's just like our pastor. He'll preach and he'll tan your hide, amen, and then on the backside, he comes with that balm and puts it on there. I sure do love you. I sure do love you. Amen. You got to love your people. You got to love your people. Old preacher told me one time, said your folks will put up with a lot of bad preaching if you love them.
Amen.
Just love them. Amen. When you got to be pumped, primed, and padded, you remember the old cars used to have chokes on them? Look, I was a bread man for a long time. And when I first started with Marita, I got this old truck called a roundback. It was a smaller truck, but every one of them had a choke on it. Every morning you'd have to choke that. You'd have to, or it wouldn't crank. You'd have to choke it. I believe. Y'all look out now. Don't throw a song book up here. I believe that some folks in the church could use some holy choking every now and then. Preacher might even be needing it every now and then. When you need to be pumped, primed, and padded, listen, I don't have any problem. I'm just being honest with you. Don't get upset and mad at me. I don't have any problem with good Christian music, contemporary Christian music. Don't have a problem. I just don't understand why it takes 25 verses to get somebody, amen, riled up, to get them into the place they can worship. I remember first getting saved, preacher. Heard all these old saints of God talk about, they'd come to church, and as soon as they'd set their foot out of the car on the grounds of the church, the Spirit of God would run all over them, amen.
Come on.
Now we've got to be pumped up and primed up and padded, amen, to get us to the place where we can even worship. Yeah. Why is that? Why is that? When we should come that way.
Amen.
I believe this church still does it, amen. I do. Amen. I remember when there was a time when folks would come early just to come and get around the altars to pray for this man, to pray for the preacher. We did for Preacher Buddy. How long has it been? I'm telling you, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about our folks. That folks come in early and get on the altars and pray for lost family members and pray for lost folks and pray for the service of the church. How long has it been? Now we got to be pumped up, primed up, and padded. Ain't going to do nothing to church if we don't get one of these, amen.
Come on.
Well, you might get one of them, but that's all you're going to get if that's why you're doing it. God said that's all the rewards you're going to get. If you're doing it, open so you'll get that pat on the back, amen. He says, but I will reward you in heaven, amen, I promise you. If you're pumped up, primed, and padded, got to have good job, brother, come ready to worship. These crazy signs on these churches, it's been on now for years and years. Praise and worship at 11 o'clock. What? I thought it was praise and worship all the time. I thought we were supposed to be praising and worshiping all the time. When we come and show up to church, amen. We used to say amen, and I mentioned already earlier, praise the Lord. We used to be excited about serving the Lord. But now we got to wait until somebody else. It's like a pinball machine, man. You wait on the ball to hit your bumper. But that's God, we ought to come to church that way.
Amen.
That old saying, don't be worshiping, don't be shouting on credit. You don't know what somebody's worship cost them. You don't know the expense of my oil. You got to be pumped, primed, and padded. That's the second thing God gave us on your way to ending up looking like this. You remember you used to do things just because God told you to? Because you were led by the Spirit? It was a good thing to do, amen. Every now and then, when I do it at church, I throw a piece of paper on the floor. I do, somewhere in the hallway, somewhere, and just to see how long it stays there. My goodness. You know what usually happens? Preacher, somebody's thrown paper on the floor. Pump, primed, and padded. If you go pick it up, I'll give you a pat on the back.
Amen.
I can't help it. Y'all pray for me. I believe some of my brother comes out to me every now and then. Look, we can't even get a holy grunt out of it. I appreciate that singing so much. Brother Jimmy said, I think we need to move up here. I appreciate the singing. I mean, anymore though, it's hard, like I said, to even get a holy grunt out of somebody unless it's our song being sung by our singer on our time. On our time.
Amen.
Yeah. Matt is fired. That's my song. You ain't got a stinking song, amen. Don't belong to you. Just like this message don't belong to me or Darren. That ain't your seat either, by the way. The third thing on here that I got wrote down, amen. On my way to, can y'all still see it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a mess. It's a mess. Got two eggs in the back seat now. Two eggs in the back seat right now. Hey, feathers everywhere. This third thing that I wrote down, when you start getting bent out of shape, you start getting bent out of shape, it's going to lead you to this.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Amen.
You just don't know what they did to me, preacher. No, but God didn't. He wrote this book.
Right.
I'm just telling you what he said. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You get one person bent out of shape in the church. Hey, y'all remember that car I was talking about before, the first one? Your first one, when the first time that you walked out and you noticed you had parked, maybe you were at the movie, maybe you, I don't know where, church, whatever, and you walked out and you saw where somebody had opened the door on your car. And there's a dent there now. There's a chip of paint gone. Boom. We won't lay hands on folks without door if we could find them, if we knew who it was. Well, it happens again. It happens another time, a second time. And we almost as mad. Oh, we wish we could find them, amen. They give them a hug. We wish we could find them, and it happens a third time and a fourth time, and before you know it, I mean, you don't even care anymore. You don't even care that the car's been up anymore. I want to talk about something a little, maybe just the opposite of that. When you start getting bent out of shape in church, misery loves company, don't it?
Amen.
Boy, we've seen this just not long ago at the church. I'm talking about them good old saints too, son. The one that you just, preacher buddy told me something years ago, Brother Timmy said, he said, preacher, he said, everybody starts with you, won't finish with you. I don't expect you to follow me. You hear me? I don't expect you. If I get out of this word right now, and I know that there's enough men in this church right here that if I get off the pages of this book, you'll come and grab me by the nape of the neck and hold me out that door right there. I know that. That's what I expect from our church as well. If I'd ever get out of this book, amen, and start telling things that I prefer instead of what God says to be the truth, we start getting bent out of shape. You know, this is a race. We read that to you. We read this. We are in a race. We're not in a demolition derby, though. This is a race to the end. You know what's so cool about this thing? I don't have to be the winner. I am a winner. I don't have to be in first place or second or third or tenth or 43rd or 5,000. I just got to finish it.
Amen.
And I get the same trophy, brother. I get the same purse at the end.
Amen.
Same thing that God is going to offer to Paul. And all the rest of them you get if you're a child of the King. When I start getting bent out of shape, a little, I guess, illustration that I used before. Depending when you get upset or get offended by somebody, the preacher said something. You know, it's okay as long as the preacher ain't preaching and somebody's tripping. But when it happens to somebody else, it's like, it's sin. Y'all are missing. All that
stuff.
Being out of shape. When you get being out of shape, you're on the way. You don't miss it.
Y'all in the back still see this? Preach on.
You get being out of shape. You start getting being out of shape. The Bible tells me I got to stay on the straight and narrow. I got to get back on the road if I have strayed.
Amen.
I got to get back on the straight and narrow, man. The road to heaven. Say, preacher, what road is that? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked what road. I know exactly what road it is to get off on. Yeah, you think I'm crazy? Take your Bibles, if you have them, amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. I-35 exit 8. I-35 exit 8. This road that I need to be on, amen, stay true. Stop bumping into everybody and everybody bumping into me. And when they do, it doesn't bend me all out of shape. Look what it says on I-35 exit 8. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Let's go ahead and get 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. We just well do 10. I got all of them highlighted. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy, and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I-35 exit 8, as she rode to heaven.
Amen.
Not going to have to put up with nonsense anymore. Silly mess, amen. Things that have no business even drawing our attention, and the devil takes them, and before you know it, the church will be split.
Free.
Over nothing, guys. If you're here and you're being out of shape, you're on the way. Your light's going out. You're being out of shape, amen. You got to be pumped, primed, and padded. Say, preacher, what else? When you get hard to steer, you know what I don't want? I don't want a car that's hard to steer.
Amen.
You might. These new cars, these things mess me up, I'm telling you. Something in my car's down right now, and one of the saints there at church let me borrow theirs. Amen. My son has one, and some of y'all say, "Well, preacher, we all got these." I'm just telling you, I don't like it when that thing eases me back over. I know where the line's at. I'm talking to somebody, amen, I start leaning up, and all of a sudden that thing jerks me back. What if that thing messes up? You say, well, it's more, humans mess up more than that does, and I understand all that, amen. I don't want a vehicle that's hard to steer, do you? I don't want to be behind the wheel of a vehicle that's hard to steer. I'm just funny with y'all there. Psalm 5 and verse 8. Psalm 5 and verse 8. O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. Father, please. Okay, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here like me. I need it made plain for me, brother. I'm just being honest with you. Forrest Gump, I'm not a smart man, Jenny. I just need it made plain for me. And I ask God all the time. I say, God, please. Please, can you just make it plain for me? I want to do it. I want to be on board, God, but I really need you to, lay it out for me. There was a time in your life, in my life, when we had just gotten saved, when the Spirit of God would move on you.
Go ahead.
That's all it'd take. It wouldn't take a Category 5 tornado or hurricane. It wouldn't take just a gentle breeze. Okay, Lord.
Yeah.
You want me to go to the hospital? I was supposed to visit somebody, and you knew there was a time in our life when we were new, amen, and we were still excited about being saved. Does anybody remember this?
Amen.
Because every one of us, if you've been saved for any amount of time, you've been in this valley. You've been in these places. Yeah, tilt your halo back up, amen. We all have. We've all been there.
Amen.
When you get hard to steer, I don't want a car that's hard to steer, one that won't stay the course. Remember when we allowed the Spirit of God to lead us? And everything that we did, we just, that's all it would take.
Wow.
That's all it would take. And we'd move.
Amen.
Back to that old saying, that old bumper sticker years ago. I ain't seen it in forever, though, amen, about the co-pilot. If God's your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat.
Amen.
I don't want a vehicle. I don't want a vehicle that gets hard to steer. When it gets hard to steer, you're on your way to the junkyard. You're on your way to the junkyard. We have not maintained it, amen. We need to be Spirit-led. The fifth one I wrote down here, when you start skipping and missing. Huh? What? A lot of mechanics in here, I know to see faces, amen. Every time I hit a point in here, there's some fellas that know cars and know engines, amen. When you start skipping and missing, you on the way to this, looking like this. Skipping and missing. You know what the verse is.
Yeah. Come on.
Maybe somebody from the church will watch this. You guys had as many in the choir tonight as we have in church on Sunday nights. Pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. God's still on the throne on Sunday night.
Amen.
On Wednesday night. I know what that verse. Can I just read it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I know this is not proper English, and if you're hearing it, you're an English teacher, I know I'm driving you crazy. Yeah. I know what it says right here, amen. But it says, as the manner of some is, as the manner, some is just ain't going to come.
Amen.
Some folks just ain't going to come.
Amen.
And I understand that, amen. But it says here one more time, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, lifting one another up, encouraging one another. Look what it says here, as so much the more. As so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The last days.
Amen.
I don't know how long the last days last, but I can tell you one thing. We in the last days.
Amen.
And the Bible says as you see those days approaching, you're supposed to be doing this more, not less.
Amen.
Why are we shutting down Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? If the Scripture's totally against it,
amen.
Well, only two or three come. Well, bless God, two or three have come, and we're going to praise God. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Not coming for y'all anyway. Up here singing those songs. They weren't really singing for y'all anyway.
Amen.
I remember years ago, amen, I forgot what the reason was, but all across the world at a certain time, amen, everybody started singing Amazing Grace. I can't remember. This has been 10 or 12 years ago. And the theme or the slogan for that was, it says, a choir of millions for an audience of one.
Hallelujah. Amen.
A choir of millions for an audience of one. Why have you come here this evening? If you've come for any other reason but to hear from God's word, amen, you came for the wrong reason.
Amen.
Skipping and missing. If you can't trust a car when it starts skipping and missing. I remember them old bread trucks when I pull up to the stop sign there in Myrtle Beach, we first getting started. I'm talking about got 10, 12 hours left on the day. Pull up to the first red light on the boulevard down there, and all of a sudden the thing, and I'm sitting there patting the gas and pump primed and padded. I'm sitting there, please don't let this thing cut off. Please don't let it turn off. Praying from stop to stop that it wouldn't stop there in the middle of the boulevard. You can't trust a car that starts skipping and missing.
Amen.
Look out.
Amen.
You can't trust a car that starts skipping and missing.
Come on.
When I got saved, couldn't wait to get back to church. December 24th, 1995, Christmas Eve, amen. Yeah, Christmas Eve morning, got saved, me and my wife. Went down to an old-fashioned altar. So I know what preacher buddy preached. Ain't got a clue. I don't know what the song of invitation was. I ain't got a clue. I just know that God was dealing with me. And I stepped out of that pew. And as soon as I stepped out and moved, a hand grabbed mine, and my wife came down. And God saved both of us on that day. Both of us. Changed my whole world in a moment. We had church that evening. I had been Wednesday night. I came that Sunday morning, got saved, man. Called the boys and told them I got saved. There wasn't me no poker game. I'm on the way to church in just a little while. And I did. I went back to church at 6:45. I thought it was the same time as Wednesday night. And I get there and the parking lot's full. I mean, I was worried to death when I pulled up. I didn't know y'all was having all this practice. I said, my Lord, they've already started. I pulled the thing out. I said, Timmy said 6. You remember when you wanted to be here?
Amen.
You weren't here just because if I don't come, somebody's going to call me and wonder where I'm doing, why I'm not there. You remember when you wanted to come to church? Because that's where we were supposed to be, because we're excited. We're on fire for the Lord. You remember?
Amen.
Now we're looking like this.
Wow.
I start skipping and missing, amen. So what's the reason for skipping and missing? Because we got trash in our fuel line.
Come on.
Yeah. That fuel line from heaven, amen, we got trash in it. The old preacher told me one time, said, son, I'm going to tell you something. He said, anything that you put between you and God is closer to God than you are. So if it's drinking, if it's drugging, if it's pornography or whatever, I want you to think about it for just a minute because I did for a long time. Anything that I place between me and God is closer to God than I am.
Come on.
And I've put that filth in between me and him. I need this. I thank God. I do. I thank God. I thank God for YouTube. I thank God for Facebook. I mean, and it worked wonderful for us during a tough time, and we still got some folks who are not able to come to church, and I thank the Lord for it. Amen. But you need to get your behind back to church.
Amen. Amen.
Had someone tell me, preacher, I can watch you in full clothes at the same time. Are you kidding me right now? God's had us in the Bible and on our knees, amen, all week long, hour after hour, and you're going to fold clothes where God's given us a message?
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't you expect any more out of this man than you expect out of yourself?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love him. I'm telling you right now, I can't begin to tell you how much he has meant to me. In my walk with the Lord. I tell folks about it all the time. A great example. When you start skipping and missing, amen. I'll tell you what we need when we start skipping and missing. You know, you get fuel. My wife told me the other day when my car started acting up. She said, you probably need to get some fuel injector cleaner. I'm thinking, where in the world did that come from? How do you know I'm what? The coal packs are going out. They got to fix them, amen, on Tuesday when the parts come in. But that's beside the point. I can tell you what the church needs. Y'all don't get upset, all right? Don't. We need the Holy Ghost in them every now and then. Just telling you. It'd do us good to get a good dose of X-lax, a spiritual X-lax, to get all this trash out of our system. That's what causes a car to skip and to miss when the fuel line gets clogged up. Amen. Whatever I'm allowing in my life, amen, between me and God is closer to God than I am.
Amen.
Well, it didn't always look like this. Thank you, Jesus. I'll throw this in for a religion. I don't have a whole lot of faith in a religion that won't get you to church to get you to heaven.
Amen.
That's what I said. I'm not talking about the thief on the cross. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about folks, amen, that are they're physically hindered. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about folks, amen, that are, can come to church. They can come and do what Hebrews 10:25 says. I'm just telling you, I believe with all my heart. I don't have a whole lot of faith in a religion that won't get somebody to church to get them to heaven.
Amen.
You said, well, what does that mean, preacher? How can you be right and not want to be with God's people? It's what the verses say. I know they're aggravating. I know they cantankerous. Amen. You are too.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad I ain't got to stay here. When you start skipping and missing, be faithful, man. Church does, you've heard it. Church doesn't make you saved. And going home don't make you married. But quit going home and see how long you stay married. Simple. It's simple. Satan has been around for years. You need this.
Amen.
I need this.
Amen.
I got one more I got to share with you. Amen. I'm about done. When you start knocking. Why does a vehicle start knocking? Somebody tell me.
Come on.
What, brother? Low on oil. Start knocking. When you get low on oil. I could go back just a point here too, amen, when we start getting bent out of shape. You start knocking. We knock on other people a lot of times when we get low on oil. I got some scripture, amen. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to share the story with you. You know the story of the 10 virgins. You find it there in Matthew chapter 25. It's 1 through 13. These 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 are wise. The Bible tells you, amen, when the bridegroom came, they were turned away. Those 5 foolish ones were turned away. Why were they turned away? They were not turned away because they didn't have any oil.
Come on.
They were turned away because they were too late. They were too late. They were too late. I'm going to go back to our light, the very first point. You know your light's out. How long you intend on riding around with your light out? You know it's out. Or just before going out, and you're still running around like nothing's wrong. You put up a good front in front of people, maybe your family, your preacher, or vice versa. He's done it in front of the congregation. But we put on a good front. But you know, you're sitting here, you know your light's about to go out. How long are you going to continue to run around like that? When you start knocking, how long are you going to wait? They were not turned away because they didn't have any oil. They were turned away because it was too late to get in.
Amen. Come on.
Even we as Christians say, I'm going to do it. And we don't ever do it. We don't ever get around to it. God's led us to some folks, amen, to talk to witness to. And we said, we'll get it tomorrow. I'll get it tomorrow. I'll never forget it. I guess I got to close on this. That's where God's led us. There was an old man, amen. I was on a bread route and running around the Loris area, and his name was Wild Bill. Wild Bill from Cherry Hill. He was a neighborhood drunk, rode a bicycle everywhere he went. He'd be out in the road sometimes when I'd go through there, and I'd often see him laying up beside the hot spot drinking his beer. And one day, listen to me, I'm 2 hours behind. The truck had come in 2 hours late that morning, and I'm 2 hours behind. I got to go. I have got to go. You got 43 stops in a day. I got to go. I'm getting my order together, amen. And God says, hey, I want you to go talk to Wild Bill. I'm talking about just as loud as you're hearing my voice right now, I heard it in my spirit. I want you to go talk to Wild Bill. What did I do, Juwan? I said, he's drunk. He's laying up there just like this up against the wall, amen. Ain't no way he can't even get on his bicycle. And God said, I want you to go talk to him.
Come on, preacher.
I'm a preacher, amen. I'm a pastor at this point. Saved and on my way to heaven. You know what I did? I said, Lord, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. He's drunk. He's not going to listen to anything I got to say. Listen to me. Listen to me, Don Squires. If the God of heaven, the creator of everything, the one that held the stars in his hand and threw them out, amen, and named them all, if he tells you to stop and talk to a drunk man, you better stop and talk to the drunk man.
Amen.
He's already made a way. You know what I didn't do? I didn't talk to him. Brother Jimmy, the next day, all night long, that thing ate me alive. I looked for Wild Bill the next day for I don't know how long. Couldn't find him. Someone told me, amen, a few months later that Wild Bill had died. I'd often saw how big his stomach was, you know, and I'm thinking, well, that beer drinker, he just drinks all day now. He had a tumor the size of a basketball in his stomach, and it eventually killed him. I was asked to do a little devotion at a little Baptist church in Lawrence. And God, I'd almost told this testimony everywhere I went not to be like me. Don't put it off. If God tells you to do it, because you'll have to live with it the rest of your life.
Amen.
And God will remind you. Listen to me. He'll remind you. And the devil will torment you with it, believe it or not. I was asked to do a little devotion at a Baptist church, and I told this story. The pastor came up to me at the end of the service. He said, Brother Donnie, said, I need to tell you something. I said, yes, sir. He said, Wild Bill got sick, he said, about a week after you're talking about, and they put him in a nursing home. He said, and I was able to lead him to the Lord. I was happy for Wild Bill. I was happy for that preacher who had listened to God, but I sure was tore up that Don didn't. And to this day, Brother Timmy, to this day, I cry about it every time I think. That was my assignment. God had sent me to talk to him. I'm not saying he'd have got saved then. But I'm thankful that somebody, when I didn't listen, when my oil was running low and I was knocking, amen, somebody else listened and done God's business.
Amen.
God's going to get it done, but wouldn't you like to be part of it? Have you lost your joy? You here tonight, you're running on empty, running low. You got to do what I got to do. I got to do the same thing that David did. Very same thing that David did. David's a man after God's own heart. It's what the Bible says. He had a repentant heart. When he messed up, what did he? He turned towards God. He said, God, I'm sorry. Let me read it to you. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13. What did David do? David looked toward heaven when all of his mess, what he had done, the sin that he was caught up in. He repented. Listen. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Yeah.
Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast not away thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Here we go. Verse 12. Restore unto me.
Amen.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not your salvation. People quoting that all wrong. Amen. Say, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. It's not your salvation. God's given this. You got to read it right, amen. I believe every word's in here for a reason.
Amen.
Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then when I get right again, when I get back on track, amen, he said, I'm going to teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. How about this old car up here? How about this old car? How many of you like car shows? Anybody? Amen. You know, watch this. Don't hurt a bit. I'm going to go for it. Watch this. Don't hurt a bit. I was in North Charleston with my grandbabies just yesterday, Friday and yesterday, and we went to Park Circle, I think it is, and as we were walking, we noticed that they had a big festival this week, and they expected in between 700 and 1,000 cars today. They have muscle cars, show cars, and all these things. What I'm trying to tell you, it's a big deal. If some of you like to go, I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
These big car clubs, do you know they hire people as spotters? Yeah. You know what they do? These spotters that these big car clubs hire? They go out into the house.